Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Thanks, Jill. Do keep that reading open. Put up your hand if at some point in your life you have worried about something. We've got a few hands going up, not surprisingly. Put up your hand if you've never worried about anything at all. Okay, I'm not too surprised about that either. Worry. I don't know what we're worried about at the moment. We're probably all worried about something at the moment. We all worry. And it's easy to think that it's normal, isn't it? It's inevitable that we worry because we live in a world that is uncertain, where we don't know what's going to happen. But Jesus says we can avoid it. We can avoid worry. In fact, he goes further. He says we ought to avoid worry, that it's not appropriate for God's children. We're coming to the end of a series looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And in chapter 6, Jesus has been talking about what it looks like to live as dependent children of a loving Heavenly Father. There are some of the things that he's been teaching us. And he finishes chapter 6 by looking at worry. What does it mean for God's children to live in an uncertain world? And he gives a number of reasons not to worry. And they're a wonderful blend of spiritual wisdom and common sense. And my aim is to give us something to take away so that it's not just a matter of hearing something now and going away and forgetting about it, but something to take away so that we can go back to this during the coming week and the weeks ahead when we do find ourselves worrying about things. To give us some things to preach to ourselves, if you like. Sounds a bit funny, preaching to ourselves, but it's a very biblical thing to take some truth from God's word and to speak it to ourselves when we need to be reminded of it and to have our minds put at rest. Sometimes we have this nagging ache in the back of our minds, don't we? How am I going to pay that bill? What am I going to do about that thing? Well, we can come to Jesus' words and preach them to ourselves, and the nagging thoughts will flee away. It may be some of us are kept awake at night by our worries. We might find it helpful to memorize these verses so that we can think about them at night and have our mind put at rest in the darkness. So each of us should have a handout. As I say, do take that away, put it beside your bed or on the fridge or whatever, and return to it when you find yourself worrying. Jesus gives a number of reasons not to worry. They're in bold on the handout, and we'll go through them briefly. So first of all, verse 25, there's more to life. A bit in bold. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? This is one of those common sense things that I was talking about. There's more to life, says Jesus, than food and clothes and careers and houses and even relationships. Life is a gift. Every breath we take is a gift from God. And of course, we can go beyond that and say there's more to life than this physical life. In 10,000 years' time, this physical life and all its troubles will be as nothing. There's more to life. Second, in verses 26 and then 28 to 30, Jesus looks at different things in God's creation. We thought about them, didn't we, with the children, the birds, and the flowers. Look how God provides for them, says Jesus. They don't plan. They don't organize themselves. They don't go shopping. In the case of the plants, they'll be burned up. And yet, your Heavenly Father feeds them and clothes them. And Jesus' point is, how much more will he provide for you, his children? He's your loving Heavenly Father. You're precious to him. He'll provide what you need. It's worth pausing here for a moment, I think, because worry, for those who know Shrek, worry is a bit like Shrek in that it's like an onion. If you peel off the layers of worry and you get closer and closer to the center, you find a particular way of viewing the world that shapes your worry. So we said at the beginning that we live with uncertainty. But as we do, we're influenced by the world around us more than we perhaps realize. So our culture tells us there's no God, there's no one to look after us, so we have to look after ourselves. Except, of course, we can't look after ourselves. We can't guard ourselves against every circumstance, and so we worry. But it's also true, of course, that trying to look after ourselves fits with our natural bent, our natural self-centeredness, putting myself at the center of my world that started at the fall. I like to be in charge. I like to be in control. At least that is until I realize I can't do it. I can't keep all the plates spinning, and so I worry. And that's why we need to reject that view of the world, and we need to embrace the biblical view of the world. We have a loving Heavenly Father. He is at the center of the universe, not me. He's completely in control of all things. He governs the universe, including the details of my life. He is independent, alone. I am dependent. This is the Copernican revolution in our thinking. I don't know if you've heard about Copernicus, the guy who discovered that the Earth revolved around the sun rather than the other way around. Well, it's exactly the same for us. This is the move that every person needs to make from thinking that I'm at the center to realizing that God is at the center. And when we see that, everything changes. It means there's someone to look after us. Am I lacking something? My Father will provide. It doesn't depend on me. And if my Father doesn't provide right now, well, obviously I don't need it right now. Our Heavenly Father, who provides for all creation, will provide for us, so we don't need to worry. That's faith. And it also means, of course, that he's at the center of my world, not me. His values, his priorities come first. That's repentance. So, look at the birds, look at the flowers. Thirdly, verse 27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Worry achieves nothing. This is another of those common sense statements. I don't know if you've ever find this. Sometimes I find myself lying in bed in the middle of the night worrying about something, and suddenly I catch myself and I think, Steve, you've just been lying here thinking about something for an hour and you've achieved absolutely nothing, and you've wasted an hour sleep in the process. And when I realize that, I either turn my worry to prayer or I think about God's promises to provide, and hopefully in due course I go back to sleep. It doesn't achieve anything. Fourth reason, verse 32, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Verse 32, the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. This is about being distinctive as Christians. And it's about going back to this new way of seeing the world that we were just talking about. Non-Christians run around worrying about stuff because they don't know a heavenly Father. We're not to be like that. We're those with a new way of viewing the world. Our Father is at the center. He is good. He will provide. We don't need to worry. And then the final reason not to worry, verse 34. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Lots of our worries about the future, isn't it? Planning a better future or avoiding a worse one. And again, Jesus is very practical. There's no point worrying about tomorrow. You've got enough to worry about today. Depend on your Father daily, and he'll provide. Now, it may be that someone's thinking, this is all very passive. Does this mean I just sort of sit on my hands and do nothing? Well, yes and no. Yes, in the sense that my loving Heavenly Father is the ultimate provider, so I don't need to worry. But no, in the sense that he might provide through my efforts. In the normal course of events, he provides a person with the money they need through the work they do. That's why in Thessalonians, Paul says, you must be willing to work in order to eat. But it's still God working through us, and we don't need to worry. Our Heavenly Father, who provides for all creation, will provide for us. Well, as we close, what are we to live for? If we're not to worry about those things, what are we to focus on? Verse 33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It takes us back to last week, doesn't it? Single-minded devotion to our loving Heavenly Father. We're to put him and his priorities, his kingdom values, first. So we're to seek his kingdom. That is, we're to seek the growth of his kingdom. We're to pray that people become Christians, our family, our friends, our neighbours. And we've got a great opportunity with Easter and the West Holme mission approaching. And I thought as I was preparing today that wouldn't it be great maybe over the next few months, couple of months, to pray for three people. If each of us were to pray for three friends or relatives or neighbours, that over the next couple of months that we have an opportunity to invite them to something or to have a conversation with them about our faith. And the scary thing is God answers prayer and it might just happen as a result. Or there's those cards as well that need to be handed back soon. So ask a friend. If you can't remember what I'm talking about, ask me afterwards. They're at the back. Ask a friend, what question would you ask God? If you could ask God any question, what would you ask him? And then write it down, put it in the box. Write your own question down as well. And we'll address those questions in a series of sermons in April. And of course, as we seek his kingdom, we're to give of our time and of our money. And Gordon's already talked about the financial situation of the churches. Part of seeking his kingdom is to give to his work. But then secondly, we're to seek his righteousness. We're to trust in Jesus, the one who's given us his righteousness through his death on the cross. And as those clothed in Jesus' righteousness, we're to seek that righteousness more and more, to seek to live with his priorities in our lives. So don't worry. Five reasons not to worry. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. I've got some questions for us to think about, but for now, let's pray. And we're going to pray in the light of what we've just talked about, and also for some other things as well. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for every good gift that comes from your hand. We thank you that you do give us our daily bread. We thank you that you do provide for our needs, both as individuals and as a church family. And we do pray for each of us to know what it looks like to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. We pray for wisdom to know how to respond to what Gordon shared with us earlier about the financial situation. We pray that you would help us to be those who pray and invite others to hear more about the good news of Jesus over this next couple of months. And we pray you'd help us to live with your values more and more. Father, we thank you that you hear our prayers. We thank you that you are our loving Heavenly Father. And so we pray with confidence. In Jesus' name. Amen.